Welcome back to Digesting Dark. We are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time. For this podcast, we rewatched season 2, episode 6, titled The Endless Cycle. And we are here to talk all about it and what this episode means leading up to the third and final season coming out in less than a week on June 27th. My name is Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the 2019 Jonas to my 2020 Jonas, Aaron Brooks. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. So, did you enjoy traveling back almost exactly 1 year ago today?
Yeah, it was a blast from the past, if you will, or for me, at the current, since I'm the 2019 Jonas.
That's true. June 20th, 2019 is the entire episode of this one that we just watched. It is the day, not the day before. I think we kept saying the day before Michael killed himself. It is the day that Michael kills himself. Mm-hmm. And we get to see everything that was going on in June of 2019 before the show even started and where all the characters were before the show started.
Yeah, this is a great episode.
Yeah, it's the closest Dark gets to a bottle episode, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty contained. They could have spent a whole season on this, like this year, this day.
That's
it's
true. Like, yeah, they could
have. So much.
There is a lot here. So, of course, we are going through every episode of Dark. Only a few of them left before we get to season 3. And season 3 is coming out this Saturday on June 27th. And once we get to season 3, then we will switch from a rewatch podcast to a first watch podcast. And we will be doing discussions of every episode of Dark as we watch them, probably averaging about one per day or so. So make sure that you subscribe to Digesting Dark on your favorite podcatcher. That way you can know when our next episodes are all dropping over this next couple weeks. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Player.fm. We're also on YouTube. If you prefer to listen to podcasts on YouTube, you can subscribe on there too. And keep sending us feedback. We're compiling some feedback to do a season 3 preview show sometime towards the end of this week. So we'll do some Q&A in that and some
preview. Yeah. Like, and just with the feedback show, we are not watching any season 3 material ahead of time. So we haven't watched any trailers. We haven't looked at any stills. We haven't looked at any leaked photos. We're not on Reddit. So if the questions could avoid those types of spoilers, obviously it's a little late to be saying that now, but just moving forward.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think I haven't gotten any feedback in that's related to the trailer. I had one person ask me if we were watching the trailer, and I said not until probably the end of, till we finish season 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please avoid that. That's a good point. Please avoid the trailers. And of course, once we get to season 3, you know, send in your feedback, but be careful sending in feedback because we're not going to be binging Dark. We're going to be going through one episode at a time and really taking them in. So, you know, it's going to take us about a week or so to get through the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no rush here. So
you can listen to our first. Once this is done, then there's not much.
Although the creator is working on another series for Netflix.
Oh, he is? Yeah. Oh, awesome. Do you know anything about it?
No, I know that he's been working on it since Dark's been finished. So
cool.
Good news there.
Yeah. I haven't taken in any preseason season 3 stuff. Although I do follow Dark on Instagram, and their Instagram is like, the way it's set up is very cool. It's very artistic what they do with the photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think they'd be dumb enough with any of their marketing to really spoil anything.
So. Yeah. I probably will unfollow them or mute them once the new season starts.
That's true.
Before we get started, I do have a friend that has started watching Dark from the beginning. So he's definitely not listening to this because he's just finished season 1. And I was texting with him today because I told him, don't Google anything. Just text me when you have questions about this show. And I was mentioning how I think it's funny the way that they say Noah on this show with their German accents. And he said, what do you mean? He's like, is there a subtitled version of this show? So he watched all of season 1 dubbed and did not know that there was a subtitled version of this show.
Maybe he's picking up on things that we're missing.
Well, he said it's actually easier to pay attention to the show with it without having to read it, which I can understand that, especially taking notes. It probably would be easier to watch this.
I don't know, judging by that person, if I really believe that or like that.
Well, I think from a casual, it's probably from a casual perspective, it's easier to follow what's going on. But I would
this
imagine
isn't a show to watch from a casual perspective.
Right. I think you probably miss a lot of the subtleties.
Yeah, so I think that is more what happens, and I don't know. There's a certain emotional disconnection you have when it's like 80 yard like that for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like they get great actors to do the voices that I know of. So Yeah, exactly. So yes, well, shout out to Jeremy if he's ever catches up with these and then rewatches and listens to the podcast. Hello. Thank you for joining us. This is us from the past talking to you in the future. So, all right. Well, let's start talking about this episode. I did call it The Endless Cycle. It is actually called An Endless Cycle. So maybe a clue that it is not the only cycle. This is just a cycle. I don't know. So we start with basically Adam's version of the dark character chart. It is his wall of photographs. I actually paused on this for a second because I was just getting my notes set up and I just had that up, but I wasn't able to really zoom in or see much except the way it's set up is it does have the four family photos. And then off of those, there's lots of individual photos of people. So I think it's basically like the, you know, on-screen version of the character chart that I've drawn out for this show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was looking for things, but it just seems like everybody had a circle for their family, except for the Conwalds, which was just four people in a square.
Interesting. So, like the individual photos, you mean?
Yeah, the individual photos, like, arranged within the families. Like, the Doppler family photos were arranged in a circle of all the individual photos. So were the Nielsens. So were the Tiedemanns, but the Conwalds were in a square and only four of them, while the other ones were like three or six or so photos. So just seems a little different. And there were like some spots where there were people still sitting out who like weren't belonging to anybody. So I think
I saw that too. The outliers.
Yeah, I think even Adam at this point, still 99 years and knowing everything about everything, doesn't know everything.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talk about how we understand less than half of what's out there or whatever throughout the series, kind of that kind of talk. So
not everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make sense if Adam still doesn't know everything because, you know, Adam is probably just playing the role he's always played in each of these cycles. And he thinks that he's changing things. He has Jonas, after all, and Jonas keeps thinking that he's changing things. And you know, as we found out in this episode, he didn't change anything. He came back and he gave Michael the idea to kill himself to keep the cycle going.
Mm-hmm.
So we also see after those photos, we see a lot of scenes, mostly from the season one finale, I noticed, in reverse.
Yeah, does it start in the past or in the future, he asks, and then shows all these scenes in reverse. Yeah. I wrote down every scene, but I'm not sure if there's a rhyme or reason to it, or if it's just kind of showing some different scenes.
Yeah, I wrote down a couple of them too. I think that it was more just showing like important stuff that happened in the season one finale, because you see like the bunker getting covered up, which seems to have no relation really to what's going on in this show. So
yeah, but then it shows like Bartosz like pushing Jonas.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like Alexander running. It one part it shows that wasn't in any of it was when Alexander/Boris is running with his hood on all the way on. It shows that, which never was in any of the... So maybe it was just a scene that was cut in some footage they had.
Yeah.
But that was the only scene in there that was shown that they never showed anymore. That was
he wasn't running before. With his mask on?
They didn't... not this specific shot that they showed. It's definitely not a shot. So
yeah, it might just be extra scenes, but I noticed them. I did think it was a little odd for them to show Alexander running, just with everything. You know, it doesn't seem like an A plot, although it does take a bigger role in this episode and throughout the rest of the season. So I guess they're just setting that up.
Yeah.
And it ends with Jonas yelling "Mikkel, Mikkel," after Mikkel has disappeared into the caves. So,
yeah. Is there a beginning and an end, or is everything just connected in one endless loop?
Right. So, all right. Then we go to the credits. When we come back, we see Jonas once again waking up, although he's waking up much more peacefully than we see him waking up in a lot of this show. And probably the first time you're watching this, you're curious if like Jonas's consciousness went into this Jonas. Like, which version of Jonas are you seeing? Of course, this is actual present time Jonas in 2019, sweet innocent Jonas before his world collapses and time travel starts taking over his life.
Yeah, and just one last thing with the reverse scene. The only thing that wasn't shown in reverse is when Michael hangs himself. That's still shown in regular.
I did not pick up on
forward.
That.
So everything else is shown in reverse, but it's not like Michael goes from being hung to unhung. He still hangs himself, and that still happens. Maybe saying that always that specific event is what changes everything, and therefore is why it can never be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. I mean, they take the thought that that event is what triggers everything. Although I don't know if you can really, I mean, it is a part of this, but I think there are lots of events that trigger everything in this. So it's really hard to know where the actual.
Well, I think they say certain moments in life change everything. So this is one of those.
Yeah.
It's not the only.
So, all right. So then, once Jonas wakes up, he goes downstairs to have some breakfast, has a little Frosted Flakes, which German Frosted Flakes are still Frosted Flakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, then as he's pouring it, he closes the fridge and Michael sneaks up behind him and says, boo, like a ghost would. It's a nice little touch, as, you know, considering the skeleton costume that Mikkel wears. And just the fact that Michael is going to be a ghost for Jonas very soon.
Mm-hmm. He also says, good morning, sleepyhead. My favorite phrase.
Good morning, sleepyhead. Just your favorite phrase just in general.
I've brought it up a few times on the podcast with the radio announcer saying,
oh, you're right. Yeah.
It's a really specific phrase. Also, Enos said it to Mikkel at the beginning when she first met him and he woke up. So it seems like a specific phrase.
Sleepyhead. Oh, interesting.
Good morning, sleepyhead.
Hmm. I noticed him say it in this, and I had forgotten that he had said it at other times in the show.
Well, he has in other characters.
Other people, people in the show.
So three different people have said it. But
do you think we're going to get a reveal for who the radio announcer is?
I don't. He's kind of been missing since the first season. So I think he was just a good narrator until Adam came in. Because Adam seems to have taken over the role of updating.
So Jonas lets Michael know that his plan today is he's going to go to the lake. And Michael lets him know there's going to be a storm. I thought about this. This was interesting that, Michael is probably knows there's going to be a storm. He's the only one really who brings up the storm. Nobody seems to be expecting it. And Michael knows there's a storm because Mikkel knows there's a storm because Mikkel slept through the storm. Also sort of reminds me of a little Back to the Future nod where there's a big storm in the past.
Yeah. And anytime travel happens, there's a storm. So anytime the passage is, there's a huge storm.
That storm is happening because Claudia is there, you think?
And then because Mikkel goes back.
Mm-hmm. Jonas goes back.
Or Jonas goes back, right.
Yeah. So, of course, the storm doesn't happen until later. It doesn't happen while they're at the lake. But Jonas needs to wear the jacket, so the future Jonas can wear the jacket.
Right, yeah. And when... go ahead.
So that night there's going to be an anniversary party for Katarina and Ulrich as well. Hannah is trying to convince Michael to go, and Michael does not want to go.
No, he stares ahead looking really serious about it.
He's just very off, as we'll see more and more in this episode. Then we cut over to Katarina and Ulrich. They are in bed together getting up. They seem much happier than they are in the present timeline, obviously. And even when we first meet them in the first episode, they're just, it is their 25th wedding anniversary. And they're happy, although she doesn't want to have sex.
Yeah. A couple things I noticed with Michael. As he was like making his coffee, he's trying to hide his hand. Then when he finally sees Jonas's jacket.
Yeah. So we
dropping his coffee cup.
Oh yeah. So,
totally losing it, saying he has deja vu.
Right. Yeah. So I skipped ahead of that stuff. I read Katarina and Ulrich's party and I said, they seem happy. So that actually happens later. So we do stay in the kitchen for a little bit longer. And Michael freaks out about, you can see he's starting to kind of have panic attacks when he sees Jonas, he sees the yellow jacket. And, like you said, his hand starts shaking and he's trying to hide that. And he's just very jumpy in general.
Yeah. He says he has deja vu. And then Hannah, as he says that, Hannah's over behind Michael staring over Michael's shoulder at Jonas as he says it, that he's having deja vu. She's like looking like she knows what's going on here.
Yeah, and she starts to kind of awaken to what's going on a little bit more later in the episode too. But yeah, she definitely seems to be a little odd in this scene.
Yeah, after she stares at Jonas, she says to Michael he needs to start getting out of the house. Michael says he has to finish his painting.
Yeah.
So, and then unsettling music plays.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I think you brought up some stuff in the last couple of podcasts about Mikkel being drugged so much that he kind of doesn't remember who he is. And I think that this lends a lot of credence to that. This episode lends a lot of credence to that. He talks about how things start to fade away and it feels like a dream. And it would make sense that Mikkel becomes Michael and kind of forgets where he came from more and more. And things just feel like deja vu, things that you saw in a dream that happen as he gets more and more to the present. Because that's really the only way that Michael could have lived in this community for this long with his parents there and his siblings and then a younger version of himself as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, all right. Then we see the kids all biking to the lake. Again, they look happy.
Everybody is very colorful.
Yeah.
And everybody is so colorful. It's such a markedly different world than the world we're introduced to at the beginning of the show, even.
Did you notice anybody wearing any specific colors in this scene?
Purple. Purple stood out for Jonas. Mm-hmm. For me, the light blue of Bartos stood out. Other than that,
Magnus has like jean shorts, so that could
everybody.
Be
yeah, everybody's. I just definitely noted everybody had very different colors for it being the exact same time period.
Yeah, yeah. I just noticed that in general, everybody was very happy, and that's why everything seemed right. I even got confused in my own notes because I wrote "they seem happy" in my notes about Hannah and Michael, but I also wrote the same thing about Katarina and Ulrich a little bit lower down.
Yep.
So, yeah, and we do see that Jonas is wearing that kind of maroon purple shirt. With the yellow jacket that he brings with him. And then from there, we see the church in the future. So my theory was wrong. They did not get rid of the church. That church is still there in 2019. And future Jonas with the scar around his neck, the purple shirt and the yellow jacket comes walking out of that church.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess my great theory that they got rid of the church and put the power plant in its place is not the case. But
yeah, it was a nice try, though.
Yeah. That would have made a lot of sense. I'm curious why we haven't seen much of the church before and how much of the church we'll see for the rest of the season.
So, yeah, I don't remember.
Then we go to the Nielsen house, Katarina and Ulrich. So Katarina does not want to have sex. Ulrich is trying to. So, but they, you know, in general, they seem happy. And then Mikkel barges into the room. This is child Mikkel. And he has red spots all over him.
I think they say rubella.
Yeah, but he said they do. They say he has rubella, but they say he has red spots.
Yeah.
So like chicken pox. I don't really know what rubella is. I guess it's probably like chicken pox.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And Ulrich says, "Of all the days for you to get sick, this is the one." We see then Alexander. So we check in with him. You said that you mentioned that he was in the opening scene, the shot of him running. He is looking at a newspaper and they're talking about the Marburg murder 33 years later and that it's unsolved.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like it was two people who were murdered 33 years ago. So, and is this 33 years exactly? Like, did this murder take place? I mean, clearly this is what he was involved in and what he was running from. But this is June. And so 33 years ago, if this is 1986, it's June of 1986. We don't see him actually running in the forest until October of 1986.
So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe they're just saying like it's around 33 years, or did something happen and then he was on the run for a couple months and ended up in Winden?
Yeah, I don't know, because it looks like he's getting shot fresh off that, so I'm not sure.
Right. So let's see. Marburg is a town in Germany. So, this was a murder that happened not in Winden. So, and it still remains unsolved to this day. Of course, we're going to find out that is what Clausen is there to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So, Then we see a scene with Charlotte and Peter. She's confronting him, and Peter says that he was at the nursing home. And he tells Charlotte, I get nothing from you. It's like you're dead in there. And she tells Peter that she thinks it's best if she goes to Katarina and Ulrich's party alone. So I guess this is after she's already once caught Peter cheating on her. And of course he still is. But he uses the excuse that he's at the nursing home with his father as what he's actually doing. So then we get a really good scene with the kids. They're at the lake and they're just playing around, hanging out at the lake. Bartosz tells a story about a woman who once drowned in the lake.
Yep.
And that you can still see her sometimes when the light hits right. So that's going to end up being somebody important.
Yep.
Right. Like that's they don't just mention that for nothing. So we don't know who that woman who drowned in the lake is. Maybe it'll end up being Martha. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it could be maybe Hannah when she travels back to the '50s. One of the times Hannah travels back to the '50s, and maybe Katarina travels back to the '50s and finally gets her hands on her.
That would actually make a lot of sense if it was Hannah.
Back in Hannah.
Because Hannah needs to not be around by the '80s. So yeah, she goes back to the '50s, she's not there in the '80s.
So maybe Egon's affair with Hannah goes sour and Egon ends up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what drives Egon to become an alcoholic, and maybe you realize how he's not this innocent person.
And this is, so I'm just trying to think if this is Egon doing this, then this is Bartosz's great grandfather who did that murder and Bartosz is talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, because they find the Christopher pendant later.
Right.
Again. And this Christopher pendant is so huge. So someone in the third season is going to be wearing that Christopher pendant, and probably whoever gets killed at the lake wears that Christopher pendant, if I had to guess. So whatever character's wearing the Christopher pendant at the beginning of season 3 in 1950s is dead at the lake. That's my theory.
Or they're the killer and they drop the Christopher pendant.
No, yeah, but they talk about it. I mean, most likely it's going to be a woman wearing the pendant. Well, yeah, but a woman could kill her, I guess. She could drop it too.
Yeah, I mean, I did not notice the pendant as much the first time through, but I definitely noticed it a lot, especially in this episode. And the fact that they find the pendant washed up on the shore and it's buried there is...
Jonas finds it, of course.
Yeah, so it's like, definitely...
reaches down and almost, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely been there for 30 years.
Yeah, so I just... Whoever has a pendant is definitely involved with the lake. Mm-hmm. My guess is that Egon kills Hannah at the lake.
Yeah, I do like that theory. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So,
to be determined, but yeah, it seems like we're definitely getting a setup there. Then we have Martha and Jonas talking on the shore, and she's asking him, you know, if his parents are happy or if they've just learned to put up with each other, which seems like it's the case with all these parents that we find out they're just putting up with each other. Everybody's sets of parents, except maybe not Alexander and Regina. They seem like they actually like each other, but the rest are just putting up with each other, it seems like.
Yeah.
And this is when Jonas finds the pendant of Saint Christopher, the patron saint of travelers. Then we see a future version of Jonas. We'll say Jonas 2020 we'll just call him that. Jonas 2020 is at the cross street, and just like we always see with people at the cross street, a car drives up behind him. This time it is Ulrich and Katarina. They drive up behind him. They're taking Mikkel to the doctor. We don't even realize Mikkel is in the car. And then we hear somebody offer Jonas an ultimate fist bump.
Yeah.
So of course the ultimate fist bump comes back once again. We did hear that in the very first episode in the first season. And Jonas and Katarina, they obviously think Ulrich and Katarina definitely think that Jonas is the 2019 version of Jonas. They don't really realize that he looks a little bit different. They offer him a ride because they thought that he was supposed to be at the lake, and he declines. He says he'll get there. And they're talking, you know, they're kind of dancing around the fact that Martha is in love with him. And even Mikkel just comes right out and says it.
Mm-hmm.
And
says everybody knows Martha has a crush on him. So.
Right. Yep. And before they leave, Ulrich tells Jonas, get back to it, Romeo. So another reference to Shakespeare. Of course, these are lovers who are not supposed to be together because of their families.
Yep.
So then we see Magnus. He is taking a piss on a tree, standing very close to the tree, I noticed. And he sees some woman upside down in the water, especially after we just heard about somebody drowning in the water. Now, could it be that Francisca is the one who's going to end up drowning sometime in the past?
Could be. Maybe Magnus does it.
Or maybe Adam, because Adam does have that pendant by the end of the episode.
Yeah, true.
So he sees Francisca lying upside down in the water. We don't really know why. I guess this is just her way of coping with the hard times in her life.
Yeah, she's just kind of weird.
Yeah. And she stands up. She's naked. And Magnus seems like he's interested, but also is like totally freaked out and runs away.
He said something kind of interesting here. He says, I thought you weren't breathing. And then he said he saw a dead body.
Right.
So where did he see a dead body?
Well, I think he thought she was a dead body.
Is that what he's saying? Because he said, okay.
Yeah. Because I mean, he said it weird.
Yeah, he said that he saw a dead body. Well, he's a weird guy. So he said it completely wrong?
Yeah, because Magnus is a weirdo.
Okay.
I mean, this is the most Magnus has ever done in this show, by the way.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This one spot where he almost saves somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Francisca is just a weird girl, but she also is aware of her parents, her father cheating on her mother.
Yeah, she smiles as he walks away and like is like, I got him, like type of thing.
Right. Well, and you know, by the end of this episode, Magnus is Facebook stalking her and obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, but good for Magnus. You did something this episode. Then we see Martha. She's now laying on the beach next to Jonas, and she's reading Adrian, which is what we talked about that in the last episode. That is the story of the woman who's getting chased by the Minotaur, which is a monster in the labyrinth. So, probably pretty symbolic of this show in terms of the show being a labyrinth and who is the monster that's chasing Martha.
Yep.
And she asked Jonas, she said, wouldn't you love to know what's coming next? I thought that was weird for her to ask this. I mean, it makes sense why she would, but it's an odd question, especially considering where their lives are going to go over the next year and a half.
Yeah, and she says, and then Jonas is like, in the future, and she says, just like the next 5 minutes or so.
Right.
Sometimes she gets the feeling something is happening. And then Jonas has to go help Enos with a tablet.
Yeah. Before that, though, Magnus runs through between them yelling attack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that meant. I mean, was he being attacked by bees? Is he just like really weird because he just saw Francisca naked? I mean, is he just weird because he's like, Magnus?
I think he was yelling it out to Bartos because he was going to go play like volleyball or whatever with him.
Okay.
Like, I think he's, again, Magnus. Don't look into anything Magnus is doing is my advice.
Yeah. All right. Well, one thing I noticed too is like, where are Magnus and Bartos this whole time? I mean, Jonas and Martha are sitting on the beach for a while, like long enough that she dried off and got dressed and started reading. And, you know, then they have these intimate moments and Bartos and Magnus are nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Well, they're in the water the whole time, throwing the yellow ball back and forth.
It was a yellow ball. That's a good point. So, Jonas says he has to go and teach Grandma Innes how to use a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
The only mention of Innes that we really get besides pictures of her in a photo. So she's nowhere to be found during all of this. You would think that they would have shown her at some point, especially if he's going to go teach her how to use a tablet. You'd think we would have checked in with her.
And then Martha asks why he has the raincoat, Jonas, just pointing out again how no one was expecting this to happen.
Except Michael.
Yep.
So. And right after that, so, you know, probably 5 minutes after Martha said she wanted to know what would happen in 5 minutes, Jonas 2020 comes and takes Jonas 2019's place. And he's talking to her, talking about how he thought he had more time. And he says, you know, it's weird that people say the phrase to have time when time has us.
Mm-hmm.
So, Then Jonas tells Martha the line that we have heard multiple times during this season: "You and I are perfect for each other. Never believe anything else."
Yep. Kisses her, and then it's sad music that plays.
Yeah, and he has to go. So I thought this line was interesting because we've talked about bootstrap paradox with a lot of things, and we will, you know, when we get to everything with Michael and Jonas that happens in this episode. But even the bootstrap paradox of the line, "You and I are perfect for each other, nobody else believes this," this is almost a loop, but this actually does come from somewhere. So this version of Jonas first heard this line as, you know, when he woke up earlier in the season to a dream where he had that dream and he heard that line. Then we've also seen the stranger wake up and have that line, and Martha also wake up to that line. But the Martha who wakes up to that line in the timeline version, that's a 2020 version of Martha. So the beginning of this line, "You and I are perfect for each other, nobody never believe anything else," came from Jonas's dream at some point earlier in this season.
So what does that tell us?
That something is coming from a dream, that an idea is actually coming from a dream, because as far as we know, Jonas never heard this phrase before that dream. And then says it, and then the stranger remembers him saying it, and Martha remembers him saying it, and they wake up to the dreams from it. Now, I thought what would have been really interesting is if during the scene in the bedroom, Martha said that line back to Jonas, so that to the younger version of Jonas, so then it would complete the cycle there. But that cycle never completes.
Yeah,
so 2019 Jonas doesn't ever hear this phrase. The first time he hears it is when he's in a dream.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it just seems like that is one of the only unfinished loops that we've seen of these kind of devices. So, yeah, and then he kisses her. They have an intimate moment, and then he has to go. So he is out of time. So, do you think this was just him following his passion and just wanting to do this so badly? He's just so in love with Martha.
It's always what he did.
Yeah,
I guess.
Because it is what he did, because then it gives Martha the idea to come onto him later in the episode, which mm-hmm. sets off their almost love, which is derailed because of Michael killing himself.
Right.
So. All right. Then we get to the party. We have Ulrich and Katarina. They're arriving at Hannah's house. I'm not sure why they stopped by there, but I don't know. They just had to drop something off, apparently. And Katarina mentions that it's been 25 years since they got married, and it's crazy. So 25 years, this is 2019. So 25 years would put us where?
84? Or no.
94.
94.
Yeah. So, yep. Yes, June 20th, 1994. Do you think we're going to go back to 1994 in season 3 and see their wedding day?
I don't know. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It would take us completely off the 33-year cycle to see something in the 90s.
Well, that's what that time machine has opened up from Adam, though.
Yep. Mikkel says he needs to use the bathroom. And this is when Hannah gets her deja vu. So she's staring at Mikkel and clearly is getting some sort of, you know, deja vu, feeling like she's remembering something from a dream, recognizing Mikkel from when she was a kid and she saw him in season 1, thought he was Michael.
Yep.
And apparently she hasn't seen him in a while. I guess, you know, they're good friends, but it seems like they just don't. He's gone on a growth spurt. So, and she mentions that he's grown so much. So it's just one of those where, you know, he was like a very young child the last time she saw him. Now that she sees him, he actually looks a lot like what her husband looked like when they first met.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Ulrich mentions that he eats like an ogre. Thought that was an interesting way, you know, as we're talking about ghosts and monsters, calling him an ogre is a good way to mention it.
Yeah.
So, and he takes after his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see Mikkel walk into the house where he's going to live very shortly when he goes back in time, when he lives with Innes. And it's just, everything seems a little off. He's kind of looking around. It's almost like he's getting deja vu being in there, I felt like.
Future affects the past affects the future.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just got a feeling that he was so close to his other self. Maybe that's what he was feeling.
Yeah, because when he sees him, he takes off.
Right. Well, and before then, he goes to the bathroom and he's peeing, and then Michael is actually listening to him in the bathroom, which is kind of a weird thing to do. I guess he just wanted to be close to his former self.
Yeah.
I think through all of this, we're just not sure how aware Michael is of who Mikkel is. Like, he clearly knows there's something up with him. Do you think he knows all of this? Like, you think he's put everything together at this point?
I think he knows, and he knows he wants to change it but can't, and doesn't know why he can't.
Right. Like, I guess him listening to him in the bathroom, really, like, what he was hoping to do was to go in there and tell Mikkel, like, don't go back.
He looks at him, even. He wants to tell him, but Mikkel takes off.
Right, and to Mikkel, it's just like, this guy's really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as we were leaving the lake, Bartosz stops Martha to talk to her and says that he can't come to the party because of dinner with his mom and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're not letting him come to the party for whatever reason, and they're not going. I guess, Regina probably wouldn't want to celebrate Ulrich and Katarina's wedding anniversary. It's probably just that.
Yeah, I don't think they're friends. So.
Yeah. I mean, really, Bartosz is kind of more of the Romeo and Juliet. You know, if you think about the family, the Tiedemann and the Nielsen rivalry, that's a lot more like Montague Capulet than Jonas and Martha is.
Yeah, that's true.
But before they leave, Bartosz lets Martha know that he really likes her hair.
Mm-hmm. So, that way.
As opposed to what way? Not coming out of the lake, apparently.
Maybe it's like another hint to alt worlds and how the hair is different in the alt world versions of people.
But do you think Bartosz has traveled at this point?
Probably between worlds, yeah.
You think so? So you think he already knows what's going on with some of this stuff?
I mean, maybe with Bartosz. Yeah. I think he knows a lot.
I mean, maybe that would explain why he knows about the drowned woman in the lake.
Right. Yeah. Could be.
I also noted that, you know, Tiedemann's in their hair. Claudia talks about Regina's hair when she was a teenager and how she didn't like it. Then she liked it when she starts taking care of herself. And then Regina starts losing her hair once she gets cancer. And we've got the storm starting as well. So we're starting to get the lightning and the storm clouds coming in. We see Alexander in his office. And he calls Waller directly and tells him he wants him to look into something. But we don't really hear what he's telling him to look into. But he's looking at the newspaper clipping of the murder that's still unsolved.
Maybe he's looking into who's writing about it. I don't know.
Maybe investigating that, just people involved with it. We know Clausen's going to be involved with that when he shows up.
Yeah.
So, and that's when we get to the big party. So this was fun to get to see everybody in just kind of a different format. I actually just watched Avengers Age of Ultron, and it kind of reminds me of there's a big party scene in that, and we're getting to see everybody just kind of hang out and be a little bit more relaxed in that scene. And that's what this reminded me of. So seems like there's very little tension, at least during the actual party. After the party is a different story.
Yep.
So Hannah is in a red dress. Katarina is in a blue dress with red hearts all over it. First, I thought it was red dots, which would match Mikkel's dots that he has all over him. And Hannah, I think, also brought a red dish with tiramisu that she made.
Yep.
And then Heaven is a Place on Earth starts playing, and Katarina seems like she's just having a lot of fun. She loves to dance to this song. The camera follows her around the party, and we get to see some of the other people who are there. Trante is there. We get to see an old Trante for the first time in a while. We have not seen any version of Trante, really, for a while. And he was telling Magnus that he should get his driver's license.
Yeah, they say – Jonna and Trante say they're proud of Magnus. Driver's license is the next step. So what are they proud of Magnus for?
He saw boobs today.
I don't know. Driver's license is next.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess just, he's maybe completed a grade or something. Do you think there's any connection to Clausen not having a driver's license?
I doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Magnus is Clausen or anything like that. It's weird that driver's license is brought up again. Maybe it's just a German thing that not everybody gets a license.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Charlotte is there and we see Charlotte and Hannah interacting. I was trying to think if we've – I guess we have seen Charlotte and Hannah interacting in the bunker. But to me, it's like at this point, there's not really like much reason to think Charlotte and Hannah have much connection.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they both lie about their husbands and say they're under the weather. And then kind of the music shows up at like certain parts, like when it says they say in heaven, love comes first, we'll make heaven a place on earth. So I just feel like, again, they're kind of telling you like what the goal of like Adam is like to have like love, you know, like be able to like dictate his life in a way. And then him shooting Martha at the end is like him trying to turn his back on that. But what Jonas has always wanted is for love to be what, you know, belongs here with Martha. In order for that to belong, everybody will have to be dead, I think.
They do talk about that shortly, but heaven on earth, you know, another word for that would be paradise. And we've heard paradise brought up a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody has their own definition of that.
Right. Everybody thinks they can create paradise. So, I thought it was a good line from Katarina. She said to Ulrich, dance with me, you old man. Of course, we've seen old man Ulrich quite a bit in the last couple episodes. Jonas comes back home. And 2020 Jonas comes back home and he's in his room. There's mournful music playing. And then his father sees him in the kitchen and asks him, what happened to your hair? Or well, I guess this wasn't in the kitchen. This was in the bedroom. He asks him, what happened with your hair? So, you know, Michael actually is noticing that this version of Jonas looks different. Martha, even though Martha, as close as she was to Jonas, during that scene where they're kissing, she's not noticing that, like, all of a sudden he smells really bad and he looks different and he's dirtier. He's got a big scar on his neck, which I know he covered, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was just caught up in the moment. But Michael is actually, like, noticing that there's something different going on with him. And Jonas says, I know everything, and then says, ultimate fist bump back to Michael.
Yep.
So, and that is a great way, sort of like the way that Adam revealed to Jonas that he was him. I think saying ultimate fist bump is a really great way to reveal to Michael that you know the truth without just saying it. So then we're back to the Nielsen house. We're getting the more of the party. And then we're getting Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. So they're all getting Rickrolled. It's similar lyrics to Heaven on Earth, right? Like, never going to give you up, never going to let you go. So, and it's interesting, they're just playing songs from the 80s that we hear during this party.
Yep, and Katarina stays with Mikkel during this time.
Yep.
So,
So they're watching a photo slideshow. We see some pictures from the 80s, including a picture of Hannah and Katarina at some party or school dance in the 80s. And this is when Mikkel comes down and says that he's not feeling well. Katarina takes him upstairs. Then we go back to the scene with Jonas and talking to his father, talking to Michael, Jonas 2020 talking to Michael. And he says, I know you're going to hang yourself in your studio. Have you written the letter for me yet? So this is the start of the bootstrap for the idea of hanging yourself and, the letter being written. I guess it's not the start, but this is how Michael gets the idea for all of this.
Yeah, and he gives him the letter, which he then reads, just like Claudia gives H.G. the book.
Yep, just like the book. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just like some of the other books that we've seen and other things written out that we've seen characters see and then rewrite. So,
Jonas says when Michael kills himself is the beginning, meaning it's not the beginning, probably.
Right.
He's so sure.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I don't think it's the beginning. And I was also thinking the fact that Jonas has a big scar from a noose around his neck from when he was hung in the future probably also contributes to Michael feeling like he should kill himself. Like he probably feels like, you know, it's like, oh, if you're telling me to do this, like this is a sign, like this guy talking to me has a big scar around his neck. Like this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that could be.
So, Jonas tells Michael to promise him that he will not kill himself. So promise me, is what he says. Then we go back to the party. Martha and Jonas are together in her bedroom and she gives Jonas the coin that he found back on a string. So We see that Jonas is receiving this coin on the string. Of course, the stranger a few episodes ago put that coin back on Martha's bed. Of course, that has even more significance, the fact that she found it in her bedroom, because that was where she gave it to Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start being intimate with each other. They start making out in her bedroom. And then we cut back to the scene of the episode, I would say. And this is the long discussion between Jonas and Michael. I had to watch it multiple times. Jonas 2020 is asking Michael about the day he went back and asks him what happened. Did he go back into the cave? That, again, I thought was kind of weird phrasing the way he asked that. But Michael says that when Mikkel disappeared, he did not just go in the cave himself, which was something we've discussed on this podcast, and I guess we just both forgot it, that Jonas was there and led him into the cave, took him right to the door and told him, we need to stay here all night. Of course, this is a future version of young Jonas that we have yet to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Michael says that he started to figure things out, but it just, the further away from it got, it faded and became more like a dream. So that could be because of the drugs Enos was giving him, also just from having to rationalize that he's a stranger in this world, that he doesn't belong in that timeline as well.
Yep, and Jonas keeps saying he didn't do that.
Right. Yeah, Jonas says he never led him into the cave. And Jonas still doesn't quite get this time travel thing. Maybe you haven't done that yet, but you will do that.
Yeah.
So, and it's not, I mean, the version of, you know, it's not the stranger who let him in. This is a version of Jonas that's still, you know, can't be much younger than this version of Jonas we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Michael says to Jonas, if none of this happens, you can't be born. He says that God does not err and God has a plan. And right at that point, old Claudia shows up. The white devil herself shows up.
Yep.
And she's talking to Jonas about Adam. And, you know, this is like one of those things that just makes your head spin. She's telling him that he lied to you. He didn't send you back here to stop this. He sent you back here to ensure that this happened. This was a part that I didn't catch the first time through, but Claudia says that she has seen a world without Jonas and it is not good.
Yep.
So, you know, he thinks that if he just erases his existence, as he says, if I stop Michael from killing himself, I won't be born. And then Adam, I can't grow up to be Adam, and Adam can't be this evil person. But she says that if that happens, it's actually a worse place. The world is a worse place.
Yep. And it's just like, we have to understand that our decisions don't just affect ourselves.
Right. And she says, we all have to make sacrifices. She describes...
Bring up sacrifices.
Yep. We get sacrifices brought up again at the end of the episode too. So Claudia says that Adam is the darkness and I follow the light. So that phrase, follow the light, I don't know if we've heard the phrase follow the light earlier in this show at all, but I've pointed out a lot characters that are following some form of light in this show, whether it's a flashlight, a lighter, fire, a lantern, the futuristic flashlight, whatever you want to use, you're following a light.
The moral lightness too.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep. Yeah, exactly. And then the symbolic darkness and light.
Yeah.
And the show is called Dark too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, Claudia says that Adam wants to destroy everything. So lots of bombs being dropped in that scene. And Michael is realizing that he needs to fulfill his destiny throughout this scene. Anything else in that scene? I know there was a lot there.
No, you covered it pretty well.
Do we see Jonas leading Mikkel into the cave in the next two episodes at all?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that. You know, we'll find out. But if not, I would imagine that we've got to get that in season three.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's another decision he makes where he can decide. Because it seems like that's one where, you know, I mean, Jonas must be totally bought in at this point, working with Claudia, because he's choosing to take Michael into the cave and tell him to stay there for the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
That also explains why there was a delay between Mikkel walking into the caves and Mikkel walking out in the 80s. Because when that happened in season one, it was a little weird that he walked in the evening and walked out in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
for whatever reason, Jonas told me he had to stay there all night. Then the storm is starting. We have Hannah and Ulrich sitting on the swing set together.
They're always together for these storms.
That's true. Yeah, this is much like how they were together in the 80s when the storm was happening. And the conversation mirrors that.
Yeah.
So Hannah offers Ulrich a cigarette. Now, one thing I do remember is that Egon and Hannah are going to share a cigarette in the 50s very shortly. So that's what she does with him. And I don't know if there's other examples of her sharing cigarettes with people, but she's in all red. It's very like she's very like devilish in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they talk about, is this the apocalypse, which is just a thunderstorm, but
yeah, which is the same thing that they asked already in the 80s.
Yep. And this time, instead of Ulrich saying he wishes for a world without mm-hmm. Winden, it is now Hannah saying she wishes for a world without Winden.
It's just a case of Hannah trying to pander to Ulrich, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, but it's also, it's a reverse of their conversation yep. before. And her pandering seems to work because then they start hooking up outside the house. Apparently there aren't very many people that are still there. Also, I noticed all like the randos that were at their party, just in general. They have all these random friends that we've never seen before.
Yeah, once in a while people show up in Winden besides mm-hmm. these four families.
Yeah, I wonder if Eric's dad was there.
Who knows?
Yeah, probably not. He's probably working. So we get the return of the split screen, though. Well, Hannah and Ulrich are going at it. And we see Mikkel and Katarina. She is comforting him in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So poor guy doesn't feel well. Then we get a montage here. So I wrote down some of the things we get in the montage. We get Peter showing up at Bernadette's trailer. And he gets the sense that somebody is watching them. He like looks back at the truck. That is Francisca and her bike watching them. So she followed her dad there. I mean, she knows what's going on. She probably has for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We get Martha and Bartos. We get Martha and Jonas together. And they're starting to have sex. And we do see the lyrics. I did note one lyric from the song, "Hope is Wrong," came up on the screen when they're starting to get together.
Hmm.
So, might just be interesting timing. And we see sad Bartos. He's having dinner with his parents.
Yep.
Knowing he's missing out on Martha. And then we get Jonas 2020 and Michael. They're hugging. And Jonas goes to leave with Claudia as Michael goes upstairs to seal his fate. We get Magnus Facebook stalking Francisca. We get Charlotte coming home to an empty home. So her family's out there. I guess Elizabeth is probably there. We didn't see Elizabeth at all during this episode.
Nope.
So then we see Michael writing the letter to Jonas. And I have most of it written down. You probably have more of it written down. But he says, by the time you read this, everything will have changed. Everything that happened will have happened and can't be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You will see how everything is connected. The truth always finds a way. We don't know half of the mysteries. We're wanderers in the darkness.
Yep. I realized that the paintings in Michael has look like the God particle.
Yeah, they're just like black blobs. That's true.
They look exactly like the God particle. So mm-hmm. maybe at some point in Michael's past, he had contact with the God particle.
And just remember, he's like painting like
maybe,
what he saw.
Maybe that's what he's covered with.
Mm-hmm.
In
the black goo that when we see him in dreams and things like that?
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe, or do you mean
the goo he's covered in. Maybe this is like his ultimate trick, you know. He's not, I don't know, the things that Hannah said about him still, like, or Elizabeth said about him being like an ultimate show off and always want, like, I don't know, these things that may all still come to be true about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspicious still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he does have like paint and rips on his shirt, and you know, he's just kind of messed up. His shirt is kind of messed up, so it's not like the God particle gets on you, but it could almost be symbolic of that as well. That he has this, the time and the God particle all over him symbolically.
Yeah.
So then we leave the 2019 timeline. You know, we see, through this, we see Jonas being led into the cave with Claudia, and then we cut to Adam. And Adam is looking at that coin, that St. Christopher coin. And
yep.
Two people walk in, one who looks like Jeff Daniels and another who's just a woman with him. And, you know, the guy says, you could have told him. and you didn't have to let him go on this path like this. And Adam says that that they need to get ready because the last cycle is about to begin. And as Adam leaves, the woman who is unidentified says, "Magnus, we all have to make sacrifices." Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably a safe assumption to say that's Francisca, but we do not know for sure that that's Francisca. I mean, I don't know who else that really could be.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume that's Francisca.
Yeah, and I mean, I was thinking about it too, because their ages, right? So they are, you know, they're middle-aged, right? They're probably the same age as the stranger is when we see him. So they're probably 33 years older than their teenage selves. And the reason why Adam is so much older than them is because the stranger takes them at the end of this season. And yeah. So the stranger is already 33 years older than them. So that's why, you know, as they age 33 years, the stranger becomes Adam and Magnus and Francisca become this version of themselves.
Yep.
So, yeah, we get a lot in this episode, and we are set up to be back on the path to the next two episodes going towards the quote-unquote apocalypse that's going to happen in Winden.
Yeah.
So, I was wondering if we were going to get something with Waller, because Waller says that he had an incident that happened in the summer when he lost his eye, and I knew we didn't find out about Waller, but I just wondered if we were going to maybe get something with him.
No.
So, no, we did not. He did say it happened over the summer, though, so whatever Alexander put him to do, it might be that that's what caused him to lose his eye.
Could be.
Yeah. We might never find out. So. All right. So that wraps up an endless cycle. And the next episode is going to be called The White Devil. Obviously, that refers to Claudia. And we are going to have Egon meeting his fate in that episode as well. Do you have anything else to add to an endless cycle?
No. This was actually, for how much important stuff happened, an easier one to break down.
Yeah, well, it's all in one timeline at least. So there's no jumping around in this one.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we will be back with our next episode, which is going to be season 2, episode number 7, The White Devil, probably tomorrow with that one. So make sure you're subscribed. So you MVPs. Know when the next one comes out. Yeah. And send us in your feedback for anything from season 1 or season 2. You can get at us on Twitter. I'm at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron J.Y. Brooks.
Yep. And we're glad to have you with us. We're excited for season 3 MVPs. To start. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yep. Almost forgot. Always. All right. Go for it.
My MVP, I guess it's got to be Michael / Mikhail. This is his episode. So.
Yeah. All right. I think that, yeah, he's... Lots of revelations in this one. You know, I can't give it to Jonas in this because he was supposed to change everything. Instead, he just got everything going. So I will give it to Claudia. She is fighting for the light, following the light, and she shows up at the right time. She causes this big storm to happen, probably. So, all right. So our MVP rankings, we have Jonas with 5 still in the lead. Then we have Noah, Ulrich, Mikkel, and Claudia. Mikkel / Michael, and Claudia with 3. Then Alexander and Egon both have 2. Tronte, Elizabeth, Hannah, Charlotte, Gretchen, HG, Peter, Agnes, and Katarina all have 1. So that is our breakdown for MVPs. I did think about giving it to Magnus just because he actually did something in this episode.
Yeah, we'll let him get it in, you know, season 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just been playing possum. He's going to be the one who's ultimately going to kill Adam or something.
Who knows?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you for reminding me about MVPs. I knew. I was like, I know we're missing something here. So, yeah, 2 more episodes for people to catch Jonas in the MVP awards for this episode, for this season. So, all right. Thank you once again for joining us. We will see you next time for episode number 7 of season 2, the 17th episode overall, The White Devil.
Ultimate fist bump.